Let's talk more about the markets now. Bring in Joyce Chang, J.P. Morgan's chair of global research. Joyce, always good to see you. So, you know, we got that hot inflation read yesterday. And since then, Goldman Sachs now upped its estimate for rate hikes from the Fed to 7 this year alone. We know the Fed has been trying to play catch up when it comes to inflation. But what are your thoughts there? And is 7 rate hikes a little bit overkill?
Well, we have 5 rate hikes this year, but we have 2 in the first quarter of next year. So I think a lot of these forecasts are coming in the same ballpark. And it's the rapid rise in inflation, but it's also the tighter labor markets. And it's not just the U.S. numbers. We also saw that inflation came in a lot higher than expected in Europe as well. So when we take a look at this in aggregate across the globe, we now have about 70% of central banks, you know, hiking rates. So it's you know, more of a global phenomena right now. But I think the balance sheet reduction will begin in July. It's a given that we're going to have the rate hikes and the quantitative easing in March. And we think that you could see about, over $1 trillion of balance sheet reduction between now and the end of next year. That's equivalent to about another 25 to 50 basis points of tightening. So this cycle is beginning. And for a lot of people who've been in this industry, still have a lot of young people in this industry. I mean, it's the first hiking cycle they're going to witness.
How true. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up the Fed's balance sheet runoff because, you know, the interest rate hikes sort of steal all the spotlight, but equally as important, and some people might even say more so, is this QT. My question is it adequately priced into the market right now in the way 5 rate hikes is for equity investors?
Well, we don't have the precedents for QT, like what is the optimal size of the balance sheet? So I think that the market is waiting for more details. They want to know how the caps are going to build up. How do you get to the maximum cap? Those are lots of the questions that we're actually fielding right now. Now, we do think that, you know, this will build up, sort of more on an autopilot, and it will be around $1.2 trillion in reduction by the end of 2023. So I think that markets are still trying to absorb all of this, but the attention is going to remain very much on the rapid labor market tightening conditions. And we have U.S. unemployment coming down to 3.5% later this year. In the euro area, we've also moved up the ECB. We now see a hike before the end of the year, beginning in December.
So with a more hawkish, not only Federal Reserve, but really central banks, it seems globally right now, the bond market is busy reacting. We saw the yield on the 10-year already touched 2%. A lot of folks were predicting that would happen late this year. So what's your prediction for the 10-year yield for the balance of 2022?
So we're at 2.35 at the end of the year for the 10-year yield. So I still think that there is more of a further move to go, that you kind of have that the 10-year has been sort of, low. And so that this is, 2.35% is not, that far away. But what we're seeing is that, we're getting a lot more questions about the investability of bonds right now. We're seeing in our negative yield index that we've had, just a massive reduction. I mean, really the amount of negative yielding debt in half. So we're getting more questions on the valuations between fixed income and equities and how we're looking at fair value as yields are rising.
I just want to switch to the geopolitical landscape for a moment, because the Biden administration has made quite clear they're discussing sanctions, export controls with Russia regarding the Russia-Ukraine conflict. How are you baking that into your predictions for stocks and bonds this year, and how might that play out in the oil markets?
Well, I think the Biden administration has made it very clear they're taking a different approach to sanction. If there is a military invasion, which is not our base case scenario, they're not going to take a gradualist approach. So if it was a 3 or 4 out of 10 back in 2014, they're talking about really going in, much more at the top of the sanctions ladder, and with export controls on strategic sectors that would hit critical infrastructure. Now, I think that we see these geopolitical risks as being very asymmetric. Even even though it's not in our baseline, you know, scenario, you know, we have a forecast for oil to stay at around $90. You know, and that is going to continue to support the energy sector, where we've had a longstanding overweight, and we have seen the outperformance since the beginning of the year. But everybody is really focused on the timeline right now that, you know, with the Winter Olympics coming to an end, with some discussions between Russia and China, all the geopolitics, it's not just, you know, U.S., Russia, and Europe, it's also, you know, China that is being, you know, thrown into the mix on all of this as well. And so whether, you know, this is really the peak period where the risk is rising. Now, we don't have it in our baseline scenario that you're going to see, you know, a military invasion, but you could see, you know, more concerns about cybersecurity, and also that we are not seeing a breakthrough in any of these negotiations. So I think that you will continue to see more upside pressure on energy prices here.
All right. And then lastly, do you think that the sell-off that's been so aggressive here since the start of the year, is it overdone a little bit? And where are you seeing some opportunity for bargain hunters?
You know, I think it is overdone because you have certain sectors that are pricing in a recession, and we're far from that. We're going to have a softer first quarter of the year because of Omicron, but we see a healthy rebound in the second quarter of the year for the U.S. economy to 5%. So if you look at, you know, things like small cap, that's a 20-year low, some cyclicals as well. So I think there is value there. We're still underweight on the tech sector, but small caps in particular stand out. We also think there are opportunities outside of the U.S. So China is desynchronized from this. As the rest of the world is hiking, they still have some modest easing in place, mostly on the credit side. And we do think that with the underperformance of China last year, there is room for China and emerging markets more broadly to catch up.
All right. Joyce Chang, JP Morgan's Chair of Global Research. Thanks for your insights. Have a great weekend.